going to turn to the issue of Gaza first, Louise, because we had, well, let's start actually in Lebanon with the breaking news there today that Irish troops had shots fired towards them, small arms fire close to the blue line. What do we know about that?
It's very concerning and by no stretch of the imagination not the first time we've had an instance like this. But we do know the shots were fired, like you said, near an area where the joint UNIFIL mission and the Lebanese armed forces were patrolling near the blue line. And we know, of course, that there are Irish peacekeepers in that mission, and peacekeepers who have actually only just travelled over to Lebanon as part of the new mission. So they're very new over there. And we do know that there were no Irish personnel injured. Thankfully, there was no one injured. There was no vehicles damaged, which is always positive. But Taoiseach Simon Harris, who is, of course, the defence minister as well, has come out very strongly against this evening. And he was suggesting that it was the Israeli defence forces that were responsible for this. He was saying that it was deeply worrying, that it wasn't acceptable. And he was also saying that there's going to have to be communications now with Israel to condemn this even further. The Taoiseach, again, saying was completely unacceptable and reminding, I think, particularly Israel, that keeping peacekeepers safe and not, you know, firing at peacekeepers is part of UN rules. And that is, when they are on a mandated mission, they should not be gone near. And I think this is deeply worrying. We saw last week or the week before a diplomatic group from the EU, including Irish diplomats, that have been fired at again. So it's concerning. Thankfully, no one was injured, but it's definitely part of an ongoing trend that we have seen.
All right, and Simon Harris is going to contact the Israeli authorities about that. I think the Israelis apologised, said sorry for the inconvenience about the warning shots that were fired at the diplomats on the West Bank, but it'll be, I suppose, people will await the particular response on this one. Simon Harris was involved in an exchange of fire himself of the verbal sort in the Dáil. We'll have a listen to it first. This is with Catherine Connolly of the Independent Group, and maybe he'll talk us through how this arose earlier on. Here it is.
We are a small country. It's time that we led, given our history. It's time we called for an absolute ceasefire, led in the UN, and make our words mean something and call out the narrative for what it is. And the narrative is Israel is a rogue state. It is not a democratic state. How dare you shake your head? You stand up.
You have to conclude.
Stand
Deputy
up.
Connolly.
Stand up and account for what we're going to do when you say
Deputy
there are war
Connolly,
crimes and a genocide.
Tarnished it.
So you have such vitriolic dislike for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil that you cannot ever actually come above and rise to the moment. We are the first government in the European Union to say what Israel is doing is genocide. Do you hear that, Deputy? It is genocide.
And what
They're
are you going to
war
do
crimes.
About it?
And we're going to pass the occupied Palestinian territory.
Good.
Okay,
when,
we're going to pass that. We're going to pass it. We're going to pass it as quickly as
for
possible. It's
summer.
Going to go to the Foreign Affairs Committee in the month of June. While you're standing here just throwing brickbats at me, we're working to support the people of Palestine. And the only chamber I ever go into in the entire world where people don't acknowledge that Ireland, the government, the people of Ireland are standing with the people of Palestine, standing up for human rights, standing up for international law, is here when you get up and distort with your ideology the actions of this government.
I clearly irked Taoiseach there. Whatever it was about that particular exchange, Louise, it pretty fairly got under his skin. But his use of the term genocide, had you heard him say it as explicitly before this?
No, today, and it has been confirmed, today was the first time that he used that term. He was in the Shannon this morning and he used it, and he used it again in Dáil this afternoon. Micheál Martin used it for the first time yesterday as well. So keeping a lockstep there in competition, others might say. But it was a particularly fiery exchange, and this is a subject that we know Catherine Connolly is deeply, deeply passionate about, and she's been a very strong advocate and voice for Gaza in the Dáil and outside it. And what she was trying to say to the Taoiseach is that, you know, this history didn't start on October 7, 2023 with the Hamas bombing of Israel, and that Israel has been attempting to occupy Gaza for a very long time and has in many senses been occupying areas in the West Bank. And she was saying that the EU is the second biggest supplier of arms. Why is, you know, they're not more being done at an EU level? Why is the Irish government not pushing them more? She was questioning the use of Shannon Airport for US arms to be allegedly transported through. She was saying that there's an umbilical cord between the US and Israel and seems to be the elephant in the room. And she was also saying that the Occupied Territories Bill going nowhere. And Simon Harris kind of getting quite annoyed about this. And you heard him saying there that, and he is right in one sense that everywhere, anytime Ireland does anything on this, they are pilloried, they are criticised. You heard Michael D. Higgins talking about it at Bloom today, like anytime Ireland says anything about Israel, they are called anti-Semitic, which he called a slander and a disgrace. And he was saying, Taoiseach was saying that, you know, anytime they do anything, everyone, the opposition says it's not enough and the government is saying, well, we're doing our best. And it kind of really symbolises, I think, the ongoing discussion about Gaza and the Dáil at the moment.
All right. I mean, as you say, the Taoiseach said it yesterday, that he had, in his capacity as Minister for Foreign Affairs back in November 2024, I think, to Paul Hosford in the Examiner, said, this is Micheál Martin, said, what was going on in Gaza is, quote, genocidal. But he didn't specifically
say... Yeah, he said genocidal actions. And it was, you know, it was remarked upon. And we, I was at a doorstep actually yesterday with the Taoiseach out in Croke Park, and he, when he said it in the Dáil, but he said it again at the doorstep yesterday, and one of the reporters turned to me and he was like, that is the first time that he said genocide. And we checked with his spokesperson, and he was referring back to Paul Hosford's interview in the Irish Examiner and this whole genocidal action thing. So it is, I mean, it's a big step, and it's a step that's been called upon for a long time for the Irish government to call this genocide. You know, does it really do anything? Does it change what's going on? No, but it's, you know, it's even stronger language from the Irish government.
Okay. Joe Neville, if the government explicitly believes what's going on in Gaza is a genocide, what further obligations are there on the government to act and prevent that?
Look, obviously, I think at the forefront, we just have to say that the Irish government have been very strong on this and have spoken out. And in fairness, as Louise alluded to as well, you know, that has been recognised internationally. We were the first state, along with Norway and Spain, to recognise the state of Palestine. It was a year ago yesterday. So we have been at the forefront of that. We have given aid to Palestine, and we have supported even children in need. So we definitely have gone where other countries have been afraid to go. I think the use of the word genocide, you know, is a significant step, significant step internationally. The use of the word genocide only came in post-World War II, and it was a difficult word for them to really understand and to use, because
it's been used pretty liberally by people on the opposition benches until now, but not used by government. So it you would accept this is an escalation by the government in terms of the rhetoric it's using.
It's not just about rhetoric. It's about calling something what it is.
Okay.
And that's the difference. Rhetoric is obviously when you're just saying words for the sake of it. But actually what they're calling what it is. So they've obviously, you know, as a group, we realise what we see on RTV. We see where it's going on. We see the annihilation of a group of people in a certain area. And that's ultimately what genocide is. And as I said, that was introduced post-World War II, had to be clarified, and it could be used in courts. So that is a specific word and a specific term. So the choice of it is obviously specific.
I'll come back to you. John Brady, what do you believe the obligation on the government is now? I mean, you've been calling for particular courses of action, but now that the government says it's genocide, what do you believe its obligations
are? I suppose
are?
The use of the word genocide, it's important, but it's only as significant as the actions that follow. And unfortunately, this government and their predecessors have failed to follow through on the use of strong language. Back in 2021, we were the first European country to declare that Israel has breached international law by annexing Palestinian lands. Unfortunately, there was no action from that point on. Back in 2014, following a unanimous Dáil vote mandating the government to recognise the state of Palestine, nothing happened for 10 years. So we see a continuous failure of government to follow through, and that's actually emboldened. And when we see Irish peacekeepers being shot at, when we see Irish diplomats being shot at, probably by munitions that have flown through Irish airspace, probably paid for by money raised through the sale of Israeli war bonds facilitated by our central bank. That's the failure, and that's what needs to happen here now. We need the government to take definitive action, and they had an opportunity to do that last night, Colm. And I think what we're seeing now is a government slowly responding to the public pressure they're coming under significantly from their failure last night to support the Sinn Féin legislation,
we'll get into some of the detail of that in a moment.
Ensure that the sale of Israeli war bonds through the facilitation of the central bank was brought to an end. The government
There's no sale of Irish war bonds. There's no sale of war bonds. It just isn't. And that is a sort of rhetoric.
Hang on a second.
That is the sort of rhetoric that we're hearing from the opposition benches that does no benefit to the government. I heard, as I said, I heard the Taoiseach this morning in the Senate. This discussion in Ireland about opposition good.
We had an opportunity. Bad,
right, hang on a second.
Okay,
nobody is going to hear anything if people talk over each other. Okay, we're going to have one voice at a time. We're going to get into the specific issue of that bill, but that was before the Dáil yesterday, and how the vote went and why it didn't go to the committee stage and everything else. We can do it in a bit of detail, but I want to hear from Francis Black. The government has described this as genocide. What do you believe this obliges the government to do now? What other action, above and beyond what it's been doing so far, what does it oblige them to do?
Well, let me start off by saying for over a year and a half now, Colin, we've been confronted with scenes in Gaza and the West Bank that are so horrific that they'll haunt us long after our screens go dark. I mean, you can understand why Catherine was really frustrated today and upset. It was the same. The same was going on in the Shannon today also. I mean, the reality is we see devastating images of children. Recently, this week, of a child crawling through the flames of a horrific fire, makeshift hospital camp, trying to get to safety. And we have more than 55,000 dead Palestinians. We have patients burned to death as they lie in their hospital beds. We have doctors, journalists, aid workers. You know, I mean, like, there's no doubt about it. It's a genocide. I mean, and it's time. It's about time now that the government called it for what it is.
Okay.
So let me tell you, where we are. So I met with the Taoiseach there in the last few weeks. I've had about two or three meetings with him to discuss the Occupied Territories Bill. Obviously, I had many meetings before the election with the government about the Occupied Territories Bill. They had made a promise to pass the bill before the election. Unfortunately, they decided to pull back from that. But they are going to pass a bill. Now, the challenge for me in particular around that is that, you know, and I spoke to the Taoiseach about this, that it will be, they will bring in their own bill. And this bill, my big concern is that it's both goods and services. And this timeline.
This was in your original bill.
This was in my original bill.
And it didn't just apply to the occupied Palestinian territories. It was all occupied territories.
It was all occupied territories. Western Sahara. But they have now, because of what the ICJ ruling has said, they have now just specifically done the West Bank.
Okay. Joe Neville, is it your understanding that what the government is moving towards is one that isn't as broad as Francis Black's bill, where it would cover Western Sahara or Crimea or goods produced in other occupied territories? Is it specifically targeted at only illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories?
Specifically with goods, initially. There's a question mark there's a question mark around services that we need clarification on. But it is to tie in with that territory is. Okay.
But initially some of the reluctance around this was there's no point in Ireland acting alone, there's no point in Ireland isolating itself further. Is it not more diplomatically saleable, Francis Black's bill, which doesn't mention any country by name, to say, look, we're not targeting any specific country, we're targeting a country that occupies another country and then produces goods in illegal settlements in that country. And it doesn't leave you open to the kind of charges that Michael D. Higgins was complaining about today.
No, I said actually the opposite, because I do think you need to be very specific when you're enacting legislation like this and you're kind of focusing in an area, because otherwise a risk larger things being open to question. Who's to say where is occupied and who isn't? You know, there's question marks over so many states, you know, all across the world.
But what about the UN's definition?
Whereas if we get very specific on a location, which we have and which we plan to do, and that's the way the focus is going, and obviously we're focusing in goods because we know, we feel that we can get that through. Obviously there is the question mark about service, and that clarification will be teased out in the coming months. Now, as we said, and Francis, in fairness, and I do want to just to thank Frances for her work in this area, and obviously Frances, and I wouldn't have known Frances before, but obviously I knew her through her work, and that's spoke to that this morning. And in fairness, Frances had led the way in this. Obviously, we haven't been able to get it through in the format that it's in, but it is that modified format. And to answer your question, to be as specific as possible, I think to be as best in class.
And you don't think that leaves us more diplomatically vulnerable than the more general terms. No, of because
I would say, and this is, I suppose, to what I was just what I wanted to say with John as well, was that because of, I think, our international stance and our ability to bring people with us and how we have brought people with us, I think that has led us to a position where now we will be able to enact this very specific bill.
Can I just come in there? Yeah. Because it's actually because the Attorney General has now said, because of the ICJ ruling last June, have said that, you know, that's why that all countries are obligated to not trade with the illegal settlements. The settlements are war crimes. We know they're war crimes. So all countries are actually obligated to not trade with the, but that's goods and services, by the way. And that's what the ICJ have said. So if the ICJ have said it, I can't understand if they're saying goods and services. So I don't know what the legal problem is with services, but that's something that we hope to debate out in the pre-leg scrutiny, and we have agreed to do that. And the Taoiseach, by the way, is open to hearing what our arguments are, and we have detailed legal advice from the top lawyers in the world that say we can do this. And the Taoiseach has said he's open to his mind being changed on this. So I'm hopeful that we'll get services on this, and we will do everything in our power to get goods and services on this bill.
Okay, John, I will let you in, because I am going to come to the legislation that Sinn Féin was trying to introduce. I'm just going to get Louise to do a quick explainer as to what was before the Dáil yesterday, and then I'll come to you for your response on it.
Yes, this was Sinn Féin's legislation brought forward by Piers Doherty and Mary Lou MacDonald, and it was calling for the end of the sale of Israeli war bonds through the central bank. And the central bank is the designated authority for the sale of Israeli bonds in the EU. This happened after Brexit. It happened in the UK, and then because obviously the UK went out of the EU, it had to be relocated. And they are saying that it is responsible for assessing whether a prospectus for the offer of securities is in compliance with the requirements of the EU prospectus regulation, which is very technical.
Right.
But this is what the government are kind of pinning their argument on, because they are saying that they have advice from the Attorney General to say that this goes against kind of EU treaties, that they can't do it, that it kind of undermines your obligation as a member state. So they are saying that that is the advice that they have from the Attorney General to say, no, this can't pass. Now, I know Sinn Féin have advice from the OPS LA and the Oireachtas lawyers, so I guess the issue is
Office of the Parliamentary Legal Advisor.
Couldn't remember it, and I was hoping you would, Colm. Okay.
So just for the benefit of listeners, so the EU directive on prospectuses is basically that a prospectus for the sale of things like bonds and securities has to be. You have to be able to produce a one pager that accurately reflects, for the benefit of investors, the purpose of the bonds and the benefits of the bonds, etc. Anyway, John Brady, you introduced a measure to try and get the central bank to stop approving the prospectus.
Absolutely, and I think it's very clear the way Israel is selling these bonds, that the sole purpose is to fund the genocide that's happening as we speak in Gaza. Also, you know,
it's general government debt, and amongst other things, it funds the West Bank as well, and just to note, there's another 22
settlements, illegal settlements have been approved by the Israeli government today. So we see a continuation of that emboldenment by the international community to Israel. So the significance of this legislation was to stop that, to take a stand against that genocide and the facilitation of the sale of those war bonds through the Irish Central Bank. And again, we see this bogus argument of legal concerns by the Attorney General, and we've seen that previously in terms of the Occupied Territories Bill. We've seen the same narrative in terms of another piece of legislation that Sinn Féin brought forward, the Illegal Israeli Settlement Divestment Bill, and that was debuffed when the Ditch leaked correspondence from the Attorney General to show that there was no legal issues there whatsoever. Similarly with the Occupied Territories Bill, and it's shown that the legislation that Sinn Féin brought forward last night that the government voted against, there's no issues in terms of Irish law, EU law or international law. What we see again is the government running scared, hiding behind, taking meaningful actions to hold Israel to account, to stop the funding of the genocide in which they're carrying out, and embolden them to continue their legal expansion of occupying Palestinian territories.
I want to get Joe Neville's response to that.
Look, I just want to say that obviously it is from a legal perspective, and I do want to quote Pascal, the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, last night. Pascal outlined, you know, he said specifically, by seeking to permit the central bank to step outside the financial services legislation in the area, I am advised that these measures will be judged to be inconsistent with EU law and therefore subject to legal challenge. I hope the Dáil this evening can appreciate that any attempts by the government to introduce measures outside the agreed legal framework in the area pose a significant policy risk. And that's ultimately the issue. Flawed documents, flawed bills, flawed legal thought process behind it, brought in by Sinn Féin.
What's a policy risk?
Sorry?
What's a policy risk?
The policy risk that it will be outside the scope of what they're able to do from a trade perspective. And that is the issue. Like, if we start telling the central bank what they can and can't do in from a perspective, we will not be able to say it categorically.
When it was put to the central bank, you know, they are waiting from ministerial directive to direct them as to what they can and under EU law, we cannot do it.
I'll come back to you in a moment on that. Francis Black.
I actually think both the bank and the minister are passing responsibility back and forth to each other. Central bank have said that they'll only act if they're made up by the national restrictive measures, and the minister has said that he won't interfere with their functions. Now, the central bank can act on this. There's no doubt about it. They could refuse approval of the sale of these bonds on the grounds that the money invested in them may be used in breaches of international law. So they should be assessing the risks that funds raised through securities and they facilitate selling might be used in breaches of international law. And then the minister can act as well.
And the minister has said he won't change legislation. He said straight out that he won't do that.
In this situation, he will not do it. He cannot do it.
He can.
Because the information and that we have, the advice that we have, is that we cannot.
We talk about the Oireachtas committees and we talk about the importance of them, and we were obviously without them for, you know, the guts of the first 6 months of this government, and this is what the function of the Oireachtas committee should be. You know, why are these things not put to committee? Why, you know, when there's contrasting legal advice from both sides, why are they not put to committee? Why are witnesses not brought in? Why are the central bank not brought in? Why is the minister not brought in? And, you know, you would question whether, you know, the government is worried about wider ramifications. But I mean, we have the committees for a reason, and it just seems they're not being utilised to their full potential, especially when something like this, when there's conflicting legal advice on both sides. Right.
Do we know what legal advice was asked for, Joy? I want to get to some listeners text here, but what's the nature of the legal advice was asked for? Was it how do we say no to this, or could we make this work?
Can we do it? And it was given that we can't.
All right, but the Office of the Parliamentary Legal Advisor says we're not saying it's guaranteed to be waterproof from legal challenge, but it could proceed.
When you bring in legislation on any topic, you have to make sure it's watertight. It has to be proper. It has to be able to deal with scrutiny. Unfortunately, the legislation brought in by Sinn Féin was weak. It was poorly thought out. Finish out the sentence. The Sinn Féin legislation was weak. It was poorly thought out. It was badly done. That's your analysis of it, John. And then we saw it last night.
This legislation was drafted by the OPLA and it was tested. It's proven to comply with not just Irish law, EU law and international law. And I agree, you know, and we've seen this previously in terms of the other legislation, the illegal Israeli settlement investment bill, where they put a timed amendment to that piece of legislation to have it checked out legally. They didn't do that.
Okay, but the OPLA did say it was open to challenge, didn't it?
Well, every piece of legislation is open to challenge.
Every piece of legislation is always open to challenge.
Well, okay, yeah. I want to go to the text from the listeners, and we're going to get to a few more topics that were in front of the Dáil today as well. The Occupied Territories Bill needs to include both goods and services and be progressed before the summer recess, says Caroline by WhatsApp, 0870 32 32 32. Another by WhatsApp, I'd love to know what the legal advice of Attorney General Rosa Fanning has not been. I'd love to know, is that why the legal advice of the Attorney General Rosa Fanning has not been published about the Occupied Territories Bill, says Faye. There's a stark contrast between Ireland's sense of urgency in its response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the Israeli genocide in Gaza 19 months after the 7th of October 2023, says Kieran. That's to 51551. Somebody back on WhatsApp says this is a human disgrace. Being slightly better than other countries dragging their feet doesn't make Ireland right or pardon our moral duty. And then finally, I'm trying to listen to the conversation tonight And I wish I could hear all speakers, says Pat in Cork, which is presumably telling people to respect the other speaker and so that people can hear one voice at a time.
Are you Pat in Cork, Colin?
I am not. I'm not Pat in Cork. In fact...
Joe, are you Pat?
That's John.
Well, I don't know who it is.
That's John's friend.
In fact, if I was to say his initial, it's P. O'Neill, so maybe that comes with added authority and even perhaps menace to anyone who wants to take it up.